Okay, today's daf is Pesachim Daf Dalet. Today's shiur is sponsored by Elisha Graf in honor of Avram Yitzchak Khan, otherwise known as Avi Khan. We left off on the very bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to continue discussing things that we can learn from information that we could derive based on the way a person speaks. We were told a lot of stories at the end of the daf yesterday about how a person speaks, and we started to get into a few stories about how it's not appropriate to deliver bad news in a direct fashion, because Motzi Dibu Huksil, someone who delivers bad news, is considered to be a fool. So we're going to have a few more stories about that. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why we dafka do Bedikas Chametz on the night of the 14th day, once we've already established that that's what Or means. Why do we dafka do Bedikas Chametz at that time if you're still allowed to eat Chametz until halfway through the next day? So it seems like a strange time to do Bedikas Chametz. And then the Gemara is going to discuss three issues relating to Bedika on rentals. If you rent a house, first, who has to do Bedikas Chametz on a house that's rented on Erev Pesach? The guy who owns it or the guy who's renting it? Second, can you assume that a house rented on Erev Pesach has already been searched? And the third issue is, the Gemara is going to debate whether a person who rents a house with the agreement that it's supposed to be pre-searched, and then he finds that it hasn't been searched before, can he back out of the lease on the grounds that the person, that it was a mekach tos, that it was a rental based on a false premise, it was supposed to be searched and it's not searched? And at the very end of the daf, we're going to begin a long discussion that's going to take us into tomorrow's daf about where in the Torah do we find that chametz becomes usher to eat 6 hours into the day on Erev Pesach. Where does it say that in the Torah? Then we have something like 6 or 7 different sources, different possibilities of where that comes from in the Torah. So we left off just a few lines before the end of the page in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the last story on the page. Yochanan Chakukah Nafik LeKaryasa Kiyasa Amrle Chitin Asiyafos. So Yochanan Chakukah was sent out to check on the crops. So he went out to the fields, and then when he came back, they said to him, Chitin Asiyafos, is the wheat growing nicely this year? Amr Lahem, so he said, Sa'arim Nasu Yafos, all the barley's growing nicely. Samr Leit, Seu Vasar Lususum El Chamorim, Dechsev Vasarim Vatev Lususum El Rechesh. They said, what do we care about the barley? That's not food for human beings. That's dog food. That's animal food. Go tell it to the horses and to the donkeys if the barley is growing well. That's not what we asked you about. So says the Gemara, well, my Havale Lememar, obviously the wheat wasn't growing well, and he didn't want to be someone who shares bad news, because you're not supposed to say bad news directly. So what should he have said? What do you want from him? What was a better way to say it? So the Gemara says two suggestions. He could have said, Ishtakid Nasu Chitin Yafos. He could have said, well, last year was a really great year for wheat, or whenever the last year that wheat grew well was. He could have said, that was a really great year for wheat, and then they'll realize that this year is not a great year for wheat. Inami Adashim Nasu Yafos. Or he could have picked some other human food, like Adashim, and said that that's Nasu Yafos. So the fact that he picked Sa'orim is what we're picking on him for. The third story, about not sharing bad news in a direct way, the Gemara tells us on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, Rav Barachua de Rabbi Chiya Ubar Achtei. Rav's family relationship with Rabbi Chiya was that Rav was Rabbi Chiya's nephew both on his mother's side and on his father's side. How's that possible? So Rashi says, it's as follows. Rabbi Chiya was the brother of Rav's father, but only a half-brother. They shared the same father. Rabbi Chiya was also the brother of Rav's mother, but also only a half-brother. They shared the same mother. So Rav's mother and father were not brother and sister, but Rav's father and mother were both half-brothers to Rabbi Chiya. So figure that one out. So Rav was the nephew of Rabbi Chiya from both his mother's side and his father's side. He salik lahasam, so when he went to visit his uncle, when he went to see Rabbi Chiya, Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chiya said, Ivo kayam, is Ivo alive? Ivo was Rav's father, according to Rashi. So Amar Lei, ema kayam. So he said, well, mom's alive. Or the way Rashi understands it in one of his Lashonos, his response was, why are you asking about dad? Why aren't you asking me about my mom? So Amar Lei, ema kayam, is your mom alive? Amar Lei, Ivo Kayam. According to one day in Rashi, means, why are you asking about my mom? You should ask me about my father. Meaning he didn't want to respond directly to the question because neither one of them were alive. So he instead of responding directly, he would say, ask me about the other one. That's how Rashi understands the exchange. Tosos has a bit of a different understanding with a different girsa. If you look in the top Tosos, just in the Dibra Maschil, Abba Kayam, Amar Lei, Abba Kayam. Eimakaima, Amrlei, Eimakaima. So the response was similar to the question. Rabbi Chiya asked, is Abba alive? And he said, Abba's alive. Is Ima alive? Ima's alive. Well, what does that have to do with sharing bad news? The Gemara is about to say that Rabbi Chiya realized that both were dead. How did he realize both were dead from this story? It sounds like he just tells them both are alive. So Tosfos explains that according to that Girsa, Rabbi Chiya was asking, is my father alive? And Rav said, well, my father's alive. And then Rabbi Chiya said, is my mother alive? And Rav said, well, my mother's alive. Meaning, so it was Abba Kayim, Mima Kayim, but they were talking about a different Abba, a different Ima. Everyone has a different Abba. So Rabbi Chiya was asking about his own Abba and Ima, and Rav responded about his Abba and Ima. So that's how to make it work according to Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa. But either way, Rav found a clever, indirect way to tell Rabbi Chiya that you are in double Avelus right now, that you lost two Krovim, both your parents are, or either both your parents or both your brother and your sister are no longer alive. So Amalei L'Shamesh, so Rabbi Chiya said to his Shamesh, Chalotzli Minali, Volich Kele Acharei Lebeis HaMerchatz. Take off my shoes and carry my kelim, carry my shoes and my other kelim to the Beis HaMerchatz, to the bathhouse. I'm going to go take a bath. So Shema Mina Tlas, we see three things from this story. Number one, Shema Mina, Avel Asur Benilas HaSandal. He was told that he was just in Avelis. His first reaction was, take off his shoes. So you see that an Avel is not allowed to wear shoes. Shema Mina, second thing we see, Shmur Ruchoka Einan Oheges Ali Yom Echad. The fact that he was heading over to the bathhouse, an Avel is normally not allowed to take a bath. The fact that he was heading over to the bathhouse tells us that he was not planning on observing this Avelus very long, that it was going to be a short stint of Avelus, and the reason for that is that a Shmur Ruchoka, when a person finds out about the death of a relative more than 30 days after the relative dies, you no longer observe a full Shiva, you only observe one day of Shiva. So that's why he was going to observe those few moments, and then he's ready to take a bath after that. Ushma mina, and third thing we learn is miksaseyam kakulo, that even that one day of Shiva that you're going to observe, it doesn't have to be a full day. Part of the day is as good as the whole day. We paskin miksaseyam kakulo on the last day of a series, right? When someone sits Shiva, they get up in the morning of the last day. They don't have to sit the whole last day of Shiva because miksaseyam kakulo. But when your whole avelus is only one day, so miksaseyam kakulo is on that one day that they only need to observe that one miksas hayom of Shiva. Now, a couple of things over here. First of all, the Chassam Sofer notes that the Gemara brought three stories about not sharing bad news. We had a story about the last one we did in yesterday's daf where they sent someone to go check on Rav Kahana. And Rav Kahana got sick. They sent Rabbi Shur Bered Ravidi to check on him. And then Rav Kahana was actually dead, so he had to come and deliver bad news of the death of Rav Kahana. Then we have the story about the grain, and then we have the story about the death of Rav Chiya's relatives. So Chassam Sofer notes that the order is a little bit strange. We have two stories about death, and we don't tell them one right after the other. We interrupt them with the story about grain. So the Chassam Sofer says maybe this is an indication that a Shmur Rechoka, when one finds out about the death of somebody long after it's already over, that is not considered to be such depressing news. Meaning we assume that if you haven't known about them, you haven't heard from them in a very long time, it sort of was in the back of your mind already. And that's why there's only one day of Avelus for a Shmua Rechoka, because it's not considered to be on par with hearing of a normal death. And the Gemara indicates that by going in order of the most severely bad news to the least severely bad news. So even though this was a double Avelus, but it was less bad than, less depressing, we should say, not less bad, less depressing than hearing about a single Avelus in a normal way when it's not a Shmua Rechoka. Also, the Rishonim point out, the first thing we see from here that an Avel is not allowed to wear shoes. So Rishonim point out, Rabbeinu David, the Ran, that Rabbi Chiya didn't have to tell us that meaning they're bothered by Akasha. Do we need Rabbi Chiya to teach us that an Avel is not allowed to wear shoes? You know where we know that an Avel is not allowed to wear shoes? It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. In the Navi Yecheskel, Hashem describes to Yecheskel what not to do. He tells him, I don't want you to act like an Avel. So he says, V'na'alecha tasim braglecha. So keep your shoes on, because I don't want you to act like an Avel. So you see already from the pasuk that an Avel is aser benilas hasandal. So what's the Gemara teaching me from Rabbi Chiya that that a novel is asr benil sandal. It's already a beferisha pasuk that a novel is asr benil sandal. So you have to say that what Rabbi Chiya is teaching me is that even a shmur rechoka, one might have thought that for a shmur rechoka, when you only hear after 30 days, that then the avel should wear shoes. Kamash b'lan, that even a shmur rechoka, the avel is asr benil sandal. The Ramban says that that's not a chiddush either, because once we say that avels of shmur rechoka is noig for one day, so it's, of course it's going to be asr benil sandal. Otherwise, what else is avelus? Meaning you're supposed to observe avelus for that day, so obviously you observe avelus. So the Ramban explains that the ikar chiddush is that it's ein no heges ella le'inyan nilas sandal, that the whole avelus of a shmur rechoka is only as far as taking off your shoes. None of the other halachos of avelus apply to shmur rechoka, says the Ramban. You don't have to do kfiyas hamita, atifas harosh. All of the other halachos of avelus won't apply for a shmur rechoka, and that's why Rabbi Chiya wasn't even knowing in isur rechitza, sicha, tashmish, talmud Torah. All of those things, they're not going to be knowing b'shmur rechoka. So that's the chiddush, that it's dafka adin in the ilas sandal, something that's clearly recognizable that you take off the shoe at that point. The other kasha that the Rishonim are bothered by is there is a machlokas amarayim in Maseches Moed Katan Daf Chaf, whether one does kriya on a shmur rechoka. If you find out that one finds out that a relative died after 30 days, do you tear kriya for them? So Rabbi Mani holds that there is no kriya. Rabbi Chanina holds there is kriya. The Gemara says that there is a difference between shmur rechoka on aviv v'ima, when one finds out that his parents died, versus shmur rechoka on other relatives. That there's more of a reason to do kriya on a shmur rechoka for aviv v'ima. So there's a machlokas rishonim over there, what the Gemara means. The Ravid says that what the Gemara means is that there's no machlokas about other relatives. The whole machlok is only about aviv v'ima, whether you do kriya or not. Other relatives, you definitely do not do kriya. But the Ramban and the Rush say that no, just the opposite. Everyone agrees when it comes to other relatives. I'm sorry, the whole machlokas is only when it comes to other relatives. Alav v'imo, you definitely do kriya. You definitely tear kriya. Alav v'imo. So what's going on over here? Rabbi Chiya didn't tear kriya over here. Apparently, well, it depends apparently because it wasn't alav v'imo. Meaning, if you assume like those Rishonim that when it's not alav v'imo, everyone agrees you don't tear kriya, so then it makes a lot of sense that you're not going to tear kriya over here because it was his brother, it was his sister, it wasn't his father and mother. So he holds like Rabbi Mani that we don't tear kriya on shar krovim b'shmur rechoka. The whole machlokas is only about aviv v'imo. But Tosfos over there writes that the Gemara is talking about someone who hears a shmur krova beregel and he's not able to be misabel because of the regel, and then a motzoi yantif it becomes a shmur rechoka. So that has a din of a shmur rechoka. But still, legabe kriya, there's a machlokas whether it has a din of a shmur krova or shmur rechoka. If that's the case in a normal shmur rechoka, there's no kriya at all, and that would certainly explain why he didn't tear kriya in this situation. Okay, further in the Gemara now, says the Gemara, Ahuda Amar Donu Dini. A guy used to always say, let's go to Beis Din. He used to always be eager to run to Beis Din. So about every little dispute that he had, he wanted to run to Beis Din. So Amri Shmamina Midan Kasi. So he said, oh, this guy must be from Shevet Dan, because Dan is always interested in Din. Tachsiv Dan Yadin Amo Kechad Shiftei Yisrael. Pasuk says that Dan is always going to be Yadin Amo. He's always going to be interested in judging, in judgments. So he's going to be interested in always running to Beis Din. There used to be this guy that would say his dream home is going to be a beach house, that he would always want to build a house by the beach. So Batku, they searched into his lineage, and they found that he comes from Zvulun, because the Pasuk says that that's the nature of Zvulun. Zvulun always wants to be by the shore, that's where Zvulun always is. So that's the difference, because of the way he spoke. Again, these last two stories, how you see from the way a person speaks, you can tell a lot about a person. Asks the Chassam Sofer, there's a difference between the two stories. First guy, they didn't check into him. They just said, he definitely comes from Dan. Shma mina midan kaasi. Second guy, it says, Badku, they looked into him, Vashkechu. They had to look into his lineage to discover that he comes from Zvulun. So this is the Ben Yoyada. So Ben Yoyada says very simple explanation. It is not normal to want to go to Beis Din. People at all costs want to avoid litigation. They're not interested in being schlepped out in a court. That is not a normal thing for a person to always say, let's go to Beis Din. It didn't take much searching to find that he must come from Dan because there's no other explanation for his behavior. It is fairly normal to want to live by the beach. It's kind of nice by the beach. So they looked into that to discover that he comes from Zvulun, because it's not necessarily so muchrach that he necessarily comes from Zvulun just because he used to speak like that. Vashad the Kaimelan, says the Gemara further now at the two dots in Dalad and Meralef. Vashad the Kaimelan, now that we say the Lekuli Alma, or Ortu, that everybody holds that or means nighttime, Samichti, Bein Rav Yehuda, Bein Rav Meir, Chametzeinu Asur El Mishei Shaos Lamaila. Everyone holds Chametz is only Asur Midaraisa from 6 hours into the day and on Erev Pesach, halfway through the day on Erev Pesach. So v'nivduk b'shis, why don't we do bedika in the sixth hour of the day on Erev Pesach? Why would we do the whole thing? Doesn't make sense. We're doing bedika so much before this man, and then we're going to do bedika on the night before Pesach, and then we eat breakfast, and then we eat chametz. So why don't we just do bedika right before chametz becomes aser? So v'chitema, and if you're going to say, well, zrizim akdim in the mitzvos, you should always do mitzvos at the earliest possible time. So we want to show that we're extra careful to do mitzvos quickly. So nivduk mitzafra, then we should do bedika in the morning. Why do we do bedika the night before? To fulfill zrizus, all you need to do is the morning bedika d'chsiv, because the pasuk says b'yom hashmini yimol b'sara laso, that on the eighth day we do a bris milah. V'tanya, and the brisa tells us when on the eighth day do we do a bris milah? Kol yom kulo kasher l'milah. The whole day is really kasher to do milah. Ella shezrizin makdim l'mitzvos, but zrizin makdim l'mitzvos, so we do it early in the day. So don't you see that early in the day is good enough to fulfill Zrizin? Shenemar, Pasuk says, where do we learn Zrizin from? From Avram Avinu. Pasuk says, Vayashkim Avram Baboker. Avram Avinu got up in the morning. He didn't leave the night before. He didn't go to do a mitzvah the night before. He did it in the morning. So if you want to fulfill Zrizos, you can still do Bedikas Chametz in the morning. So essentially, the Gemara's question is, where it really makes most sense to do Bedika halfway through the day on Erev Pesach. Even if you're going to tell me, because it's reasons, we got to do it at some earlier time, why push it all the way back to the night before? We should at least do it in the morning of Erev Pesach. So I'm Rav Nachum Reisach, B'shah Shabbanel D'Mitzuyim B'Bateim. He says, number one is, we want to do it the night before, because people are around at night. The morning of Erev Pesach, who's going to be around in the morning? People have to work for a living, people have to go out. We don't make this the assumption that everybody just happens to be around. People are around their homes in the evening. Halavai, everyone should be around their homes in the evening these days, right? People should be around their homes in the evening, because that's when the work day is over. V'or haner yafa l'bedika. And the or haner is yafa l'bedika. We also want it to be done at night, because the best way to search is by using candlelight. Candlelight is useless during the daytime, but it really focuses your bedika when you're using candlelight. You could focus on a small area at a time, versus when you have broad daylight, it's very hard to focus on specific areas because there's so much light in the room. So we want to be able to do bedika by candlelight. So I'm Rabbi Hilkach Haitzum Merabana Lo Liftach Beinei Bor to the Tleis of Dinagi Abasar. So Abaye says, therefore, since we do Bedika at night, right when the night begins, the way the Taz emphasizes and re-emphasizes that when we say we do Bedika at night, it means at the beginning of the night, right after you come home. It should not be done later on in the night. But because of that, since the mitzvah of Bedika Schametz is at the beginning of the night, a person should be careful not to start a learning Seder when he gets home before he does Bedika Schametz. Because we're afraid that he's going to get caught up in his learning, and then he's going to end up not doing the mitzvah of bedika because he's going to be so caught up in his learning. So it's not a good idea to start learning at that point in time. Now there is a machlokas rishonim. We said that everyone agrees chametz is only asur mishei shalos l'maila. Rashi says from 6 hours and on. What does it mean chametz is asur? Rashi says asur bebal yira'a. Uba achila, you're not allowed to eat chametz mishei shalos l'mala, and it's also asur bal yira, you're not allowed to own chametz mishei shalos l'mala. He doesn't quote a makor. How we know that the isur of bal yira already applies shei shalos l'mala on erev Pesach? We know what does it say in the Torah? We're going to learn tomorrow's daf. It's going to be all the drushas of how we know chametz is asur mishei shalos. It's about the mitzvah of tashbisu. It's about the mitzvah of destroying chametz, which one would assume assume would relate to the Yisra of eating chametz as well. But the Yisra Bal Yira, it's not clear at all where Rashi gets this idea, but the Rambam sounds like he says that way as well. It's not Mefurush, but the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah writes, Im lo bitel kodem sheish, umisheisho salamala matzah chametz shayadaito ale vayibalibo, if a person didn't do bitel chametz, and then after 6 hours of the day on Erev Pesach, he finds chametz, v'shacha b'shas habir v'lo biaro, and he never burnt that chametz, hareza avar alo yira v'lo yimatze, shari lo biar v'lo bitel. Then he's violated by Yira v'yimatze because he didn't do biar or bitel on that chametz. Sounds from the Rambam, anytime after 6 hours a day on Erev Pesach, it's a violation by Yira v'yimatze. Magen Rish says, no, that's not what he means. What the Rambam means is if you have chametz left over after 6 hours of the day, then when Pesach starts, it's going to be a violation of Bali Rabbi Yimatze. But not that 6 hours, not that you violate Bali Rabbi Yimatze at that time. There's no makar to say that you would violate Bali Rabbi Yimatze at that time, so therefore that can't be what the Rambam means. That's how the Magen Mishnah understands. But it sounds pashtus from the Rambam that one in fact does violate. This is serious nafkamina la'alacha. We had a shaila this year where on Erev Pesach, Rabbi Septimus told me that he got a phone call from someone in Eretz Yisrael on Pesach morning. Please sell my chametz. I forgot to sell my chametz. Now the person was in Eretz Yisrael already, so in Eretz Yisrael is ready after Chatzos. It was ready after Sheish Shos. So is he still allowed to sell the chametz? The chametz was in America. So that's one. That's one issue. If the chametz is in one place and the bailim is in another place, that's a machlokas. But let's assume that it is a problem that it goes by the bailim. Is it too late to sell your chametz? So if you're already violated by your rabbi, it could be that it's already enu b'rishus or shaladim. It's already been taken out of your rishus and you can't sell it. The whole sale would be invalid. But if it's not yet a violation by Rabbi Yimatze, it could be that you'd still be allowed to sell the chametz at that point in time. So that's one important issue over here. Another ha'ara to be made is Tosos points out our Gemara learns from the pasuk Vayashkem Avram Baboker that Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvos. You see, from Avram Avinu waking up early in the morning, Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvos. The Gemara Maseches Chulin uses that same pasuk Vayashkem Avram Baboker to tell me that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go out alone at night. That's why Avram Avinu didn't go out at night; he went out in the morning. So how can we learn two things from the same pasuk? So Tosos says it's not the same pasuk. There are two different psukim that say Vayashkem Avram Baboker. The over here. When we say Tos says that over here the Gemara is bringing a raya that the Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvos relates to morning time from the Vayashkem Avram Baboker that it says by the Akedah, that over there the fact that he didn't go out at night is not because it's Asr to go out alone at night, because he wasn't alone when he went to the Akedah. He went to Shnei Narev Yimo, he went together with the Shnei Narev and with Yitzchak. So and it was Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizakim, he would have been allowed to go out at night. So that the only reason he went in the morning is because Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvos only applies in the morning, doesn't apply the night before. The Gemara in Chulin was talking about Vayashkem Avram Baboker that it says by the turning over of Sodom that Ashkama to Davin for Sodom was not Litzorech Mitzvah, and he went Yechidi, he went all alone. So that's where we learn that a Talmud Chacham is Al Yetzi Yechidi. A Talmud Chacham should not go out alone. Okay, the other issue, we said that a person shouldn't learn right before Bedikas Chametz. The Bach asks the Kasha, the Gemara Maseches Bracha says that a person comes home from the field in the evening, so he should nichnas the Beis HaKnesses, he goes into the shul, imragil likros kore, imragil lishnas shona, if he likes to be Maver Sedra, let him be Maver Sedra then, if he likes to learn Mishnayis, let him learn Mishnayis then, and then v'kor kriyashma muspalo, then he should say kriyashma shalarvis and davin, but he should not eat dinner, he should only eat dinner afterwards, after he says Kriya Shema and he davens Mariv. So it sounds from that Gemara that you're not allowed to do certain activities before the mitzvah that you have to do that night. Before the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to do certain activities. Like what? Like eating. But you are allowed to learn. So asks the Bach, why in our Gemara do we say not to learn before Bedikas Chametz? Apparently, you're allowed to learn before Kriya Shema. So the Bach says maybe it's dafka by Bedikas Chametz because Bedikas Chametz is not part of your regular routine. It's not part of your everyday routine. It's only once a year, and therefore there's more of a concern that you can get caught up in the learning and you're not going to remember to do the Bedikas Chametz. But something that's part of your regular routine may be different. Next, now we move on to schirus, rental issues when it comes to bedikas chametz. So, shaila number one: Bayim minei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, hamasker bayis chaver ba'abasar al mi livdok, al hamasker livdok the chamira didehu, odil malasarch livdok the yisur bereshus sekai. Someone who rents a house to his friend on Erev Pesach, Who is obligated to do the bedikah? Is the one who owns the house, who's renting it out to the other party, the landlord, chayiv to do bedikah, because whatever chametz is in that house belongs to him? Or do we assume that the renter, the tenant, is the one that does bedikah, because the iser is in the house that he's going to be living in? So therefore, it's his issue of bedikas chametz. So this is kasha. All the achronim ask, every major achron, the Pnei Yeshua, the Chasam Sofer, the Sfasemis, the Rashash, Rabbi Chanan, all the achronim ask, well, remember we had a machlokas why we do bedikas chametz, the very first discussion Rashi tells us in the Masechta, what's bedika for? So Rashi says, to avoid bal yirah, bal yimatzeh. Tosus said, I don't even know if I mentioned what Tosus actually said, I mentioned his kashan Rashi. Tosus said, that we're afraid that if you don't do bedikas chametz, even though you don't own it because you did bittul, but if you see it, it's going to be, it looks so delicious. It's ready. Fifth, sixth day of Pesach, you haven't had a decent cookie in so long. So you're going to see the cookie, you're going to, shami yavala achlo, we're afraid you're going to come to eat it. So that's the machlokas Rashi and Tosus. Ask all of the achronim, shouldn't this shayla hinge on what bedikas chametz is for? If bedikas chametz is because we don't want you to violate bali rabbi yimatzei owning chametz, like Rashi says, well then clearly the landlord should be the one to do bedikah because it's his chametz. If the issue is shaloyav la'achlo, that we don't want you to come to eat the chametz, so then obviously the tenant should be the one to do bedikas chametz because he's going to be the one that sees the chametz. He's going to be the one that has access to the chametz over the course of yantiv. So that's the kasha that all of the achronim ask. Why isn't this taloy in the machlokas Rashi and Tosos? So Pnei Yeshua and others say that even if the reason for bedikas chametz, let's say, is shema yavla achlo, but it could be that when the chacham were mesakin it, they were mesakin this din of doing bedikas chametz on the person who owns the chametz. Meaning, even what the reason is may not 100% reflect itself in who the chiyuv is on. It's possible that what motivated the rabbanon to make a din of bedikas chametz is that you're afraid, they're afraid you can come to eat it. But it's only reasonable for when the chacham are going to make this din, are going to be misakin this din of bedikas chametz, that they put the burden of the bedika on the person whose chametz it is, even though they're not worried that he's going to be the one to violate, but it's his chametz, let him worry about it. So it could be that whichever way you go, it doesn't reflect itself perfectly in the takan of bedikas chametz. So anyway, so whose responsibility is it? Says Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya. Hamasker bayis l'chavero, when a person rents a house to somebody else, who has to put up mezuzah? So maybe that will tell us. If the landlord has to put up mezuzah, then he should be the one who does bedikas chametz. If the tenant has to put up mezuzah, it's another mitzvah that relates to the house, right? So ala socher lasel so mezuzah. The tenant is responsible for mezuzah. So hasam amar of mesharshi mezuzah chavas hadarhi hachamai. No, maybe that's different. Maybe the tenant puts up mezuzah because mezuzah is a mitzvah on the living in the house. It's not a chavas habayis. If I have a house that nobody lives in, I don't need to put mezuzah on it. If I have a house nobody lives in, I still need to do bedikas chametz on it. Right? The mezuzah is a chovas hadar. Mezuzah relates to someone living in the house. So mezuzah is not really such a great raya, says the Gemara. So Amalur of Nachum Yitzchak Tanina. There is a discussion, by the way, in Machlokas Rishonim in Maseches Menachos, the chiyuv of mezuzah for a renter, for a tenant, is that a chiyuv min haTorah or is that only a chiyuv midrabanan? So Rashi sounds like it's the chiyuv, the chovas hadar of mezuzah is a chiyuv min haTorah, that even if it's not your house and you're only renting it, it's a chiyuv min haTorah. But Tosos Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Aleph says that no, it's only a chiyuv midrabanan. Tosos says, I'll bring you a raya that it's chiyuv midrabanan. The Gemara says if you rent a house in Chutzlar, it's for the first 30 days, you don't have to put up mezuzah. If there's a chiyuv daraisa, why don't you have to put up mezuzah for the first 30 days? How can we just exempt you from a chiyuv daraisa for 30 days? A lot of people don't realize what the nature of that halacha is. People think, I get very often when people move into the neighborhood, they say, I always ask, you need help with mezuzah shaylas? So they say, well, I still got 30 days, so don't worry about it. No, if you bought a house, you don't still have 30 days. You have to put up mezuzah immediately. When you rent a house in Chutzlaritz, you rent a house in Eretz, so you got to do it immediately also. You rent a house in Chutzlaritz, you have 30 days. But that's Tosfos Raya. So what's the answer? How's Rashi going to answer Tosfos Raya? So the answer is pretty simple, that you have to be someone, the house has to be shaykh to you, it has to be your house in order for you to be chayiv in mezuzah. So yeah, the chiv is min haTorah, but a renter, it only becomes his house when he's been there for 30 days. He only has that deep connection to the house that one gets by buying a house after he's been there for 30 days. He becomes a real ben bayis. So anyway, so what's the halacha about bedikas chametz? Back to the question. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Tanina, hamaskar bayis l'chaver, we already learned in Brisa, someone rents a house to his friend, imat shelo masalo maftechos, chal arba asar, ala maskir livdok. It depends when the keys of the house were given over. If the keys were given over before before the keys were given over, the Zman Bidika already came, so then the landlord should do the Bidika's Chavitz. Meaning, if he still was holding on to the keys when the Zman Bidika came, he has to do Bidika's Chavitz. Im Yishamasalom Avtechos Chal Arba Asar Ala Sorcha Livdok. But if the Zman Bidika came after the keys were already given over to the Socher, so then the Socher is the one that does Bidika's Chavitz. Rashi understands what's the magic of the Mesiris HaMavtech, of giving over the key. Rashi understands that it's a kinyan, that when you give the key, the socher has been kona the bayis. So once he makes a kinyan, it becomes his responsibility to do bedikas chametz. Tulsa says, what? Where do we ever find that giving a key is a kinyan? How is one kona karka? Kesef, shtar, chazaka. Chazaka is nol gadar uparatz. That's how you kona karka. Where do we ever find a kinyan on karka by Mesiris Mafteach? Tulsa says, no, this isn't about a kinyan. What this is about is access. Who has access to the house? Whoever has access to the house on the Zman Bedika is going to be the one that's responsible for Bedika's Chametz. Now, Nafkamina might be if there's multiple sets of keys. I mean, they both have access to the house. Another rental shayla. Someone rents a house to somebody else on Erev Pesach. Can you make the assumption that it's already been baduk, that it's already been searched? So the main nafkamina, the shaylei. So the Gemara says, what kind of question is that? Just ask the guy if he searched it. You don't have to start cheshbening. Can I assume? Don't assume anything. Ask him. So says Gemara, delaysi lahaydu l'shiyulei. You can't ask him. He's not around. He's not available. You're calling him all day. He's not answering his cell phone. So la truche lahay mai. So the question is, do I have to be matriarch myself to do bedikas chametz, or can I rely on the assumption that he's a good Jew? He probably did bedikas chametz before he rented the house over to me. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Tanisua, Hakol Ne'emanim Al Bir Chametz, Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ketanim. We already learned that anyone is trusted about Bir Chametz, even women, even Avadim, even children. Maitaima Mehemni, why are these people, why are women and children and Avadim believed for bedikas chametz? Lav Mishum Techeskas Abaduk. Isn't it because we assume that it's baduk anyway? So since there's chazaka that it's already searched, so we could believe them to say that it's all good. The kusavra kol chaverim heim etzel bedikas chametz. We assume that everybody is considered to be trustworthy when it comes to bedikas chametz. That's something that every observant Jew is careful about. D'tanya, just like we have in a brisa, chaver shemes. If you have a trustworthy person who dies, v'iniach magura melei peros, and he leaves a basket of fruits, and we don't know where Chumas and Mais was taken from those fruits or not. So Afilu Hein B'nei Yoman, even if those fruits were just picked off the field from the field today, he just went apple picking the day that he died, and you have all these fruits, Harei Hein B'cheskas Mesukanim, we have the right to assume they've been taken care of already, that Chumas and Mais have been taken from them already, because he's a chaver, he's trustworthy. So the same is true by Bedikas Chametz, that everyone is a chaver when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. You have the right to assume that it's been taken care of. And that's why we believe the Isha, the Eved, the Katan, because Mistama, whoever owns it, already took care of it. Umimai Dilma Shiny Acha Mishum Deka Amrihani says, no, maybe the only reason we believe, how do we know that the reason they're believed is because we really trust whoever owns the house to be a chaver? Maybe the reason we believe them is because we believe the Katan himself, we believe the Isha herself. It's not because of whoever owns the house. So says Gemara, well, Atu Amir Dani Midi Mashash Isbei. Well, since when do we believe these people? These people have no ne'amanas. Why would we believe them? So it must be that there is an assumption that the house has already been searched. So then, if that's the case, then why would it say that we believe the child, we believe the woman, we're not believing anything. We're relying on the chazaka that the man of the house already did bedika. So why would it use the term hakol ne'emanim? Kol habatim becheskas bedukin barba asur mi bayalei. What it should have said is, all batim are becheskas that are already searched. It has nothing to do with believing the woman or the child or the eved. So what's going on over here? Okay, we can't say that we actually trust them because we have no reason to trust them. We can't say that we don't trust them and we're just relying on the chazaka that the guy took care of it because the lashon is that we believe them. So it's got to be based on what they're telling us, what the nashim and the avadim and the ketanim are telling us. Halo amar hani lo. But had they not told us anything, we would not believe them. So maybe that's a raya that we cannot rely on the fact, we cannot assume that the house is baduk, because we have to wait till someone tells us that it was baduk, till the children or the woman tells us that it was baduk. So says Gemara, no, this had a, now that we've confused ourselves about what this is all about, this is what it really means. Look, the olam emelach has kasal baduk. Normally you have the right to assume that a house has bedikas chametz. Over here, there was reason to assume, there was specific reason to assume that this house was not baduk. So normally, you rent a house in Erev Pesach, you have every right to assume that it was searched for chametz. You do not need to do your own bedikas chametz. When we talk about believing the women and the children, we're talking about a house that you had reason to assume maybe bedikas chametz was not done on it. And these people, the women, the children, they tell us, we did the bedika, don't worry, it's been searched. I might have thought that the Rabbanan would not believe them. Given the bedikas chametz midrabbanan, who, so that's what comes to tell us that since the whole concept, the whole chiv of bedikas chametz is only din drabbanan in the first place, to midaraisa bebitul li almasagile, because on a daraisa level, all you really need to do is bitul himnu rabbanan bidrabbanan. So we the rabbanan believe them about dinim drabbanan. That since the whole issue is only an issue midrabbanan, the rabbanan believe them about dinim drabbanan. So says Tosfos, wait a second. So why is a woman believed about bedikas? Because it's only an issue midrabanan. What does that tell you? That if there were an issue midaoraisa, we would not believe a woman. So when you come home tonight and your wife cooked dinner, are you allowed to believe her that it's kosher? So maybe it's chazer, maybe it's a trefa, nevela, maybe she bought the meat that whatever. So how do you know that it's kosher? So it's a din d'oraisa we're dealing with. I thought himnu rabban b'drabbanan. So Tosfos says no. We know the rule is always eid echad is neman b'isurin. A woman is believed on a din d'oraisa also. So what's going on over here? The Gemara says a woman's only believed on a din d'rabbanan. We always believe a woman on a din d'oraisa. So says Tosfos afal gav de kol davar shu b'yadam emnina luhun l'nashim v'avadim. Even though we always believe nashim v'avadim on anything that they have full control over and that they could do, Tosfos says maybe b'dikas chamitz is different because it's a tircha yisera, and based on Yerushalmi nashim atzlanios, we assume that women are atzlanios, saying that they're not going to, they're going to be a little too lazy to do the bedika properly. They're not going to do a real bedika is hard. Going to gourmet glatt or brachs or whatever instead of going to the A&P meat section is easy. It's a little more expensive, but it's easy. So anything that's easy, that we assume that they're going to do. Something that's very difficult, they're not going to do. All of the achronim say that this chazaka has changed. It's unclear when you could say chazakas of chazal changed, when you can't say they changed. But all the achronim say they are chashulchan of shtorbach. They all say that nowadays women are much more careful about bedika than men are. They even clean things that aren't chamit. They clean everything. They go becharon of v'stakin. So this, for whatever reason, this chazaka seems to have changed. That we even had it not been derabbanan, maybe nowadays we would trust women on bedikas chamit. Ibayilu, third shay. Relating to rentals. What if you rent a house assuming with the assumption that it was searched and then it turns out that it's eino baduk, that it wasn't searched? So now what's the din? Can you back out of the deal? Can you back out of the agreement based on the fact that it wasn't searched? And now you're going to have to be matriarch yourself to search it. So Tashma, Dom Rabbi, Lomi Boy Basu, Delo Yavi Agro, Batku, Denichle, Linish, Kim, Mitzvah, Begufe. Certainly, if the minig in that place is that you don't hire people to do Bedika, that people do Bedika themselves, you're not going to want to back out on the lease based on the fact that it wasn't searched, because Adrabi, you're so excited. Now you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. You thought you were getting a house without a mitzvah. Now you're getting a house with a mitzvah, so you're getting a better deal than you thought you were getting. Even if the minig in that place is that people pay money to hire other people to search the house, still we assume you'd rather be the one to spend that money yourself. The nichalei linen shekim mitzvah money. Here we assume that people prefer to spend money on doing mitzvahs. That people always want to use their money for doing mitzvahs, and therefore, even though it's going to cost you, if you try to back out of the lease, we don't believe you that you're backing out of the lease because of this. We think that you're just trying to get out of your lease. This is not valid grounds to back out of the lease. How far do we take this chazaka that people want to do mitzvah with their mammon? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Yud Dalet, Sif Dalet, a person walks into shul and he realizes he forgot his talis and tefillin, but there's a perfectly fine talis and tefillin sitting right there. Someone who davened at the earlier minyan is going to daven at later, but someone who's not there left the talis and tefillin right there. Can you borrow it without their permission? So says Shulchan Aruch, yes, you're allowed to take the talis, make a bracha on it, as long as you fold it up again afterwards. If you just leave it lying around, that's no good. If you fold it up again afterwards, then you can make the assumption that the person's nichle l'kayim mitzvah b'mamone. Says Shulchan Aruch, but a sefer you can't assume, because a sefer gets damaged when a person uses it, gets easily damaged, so we have to assume that the person would not be willing to share a sefer. I'm not sure if that chazaka would still apply. Nowadays, a sefer people aren't so protective of. They're more than happy to lend out their svarim. So Pashas says that chazaka wouldn't apply. People would be very excited about lending out their sefer to other people if they're not learning, at least have someone learning from their svarim. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow discussing all of the different limudim, how we know chametz becomes aser and erev Pesach.